This is Everyday Faith with your host, Jeff Gaffney, here on News Talk 107.5 FM and 1260 AM WCHV.
Welcome to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host, and for the next 30 minutes, we're going to have a conversation about faith. And we're going to attempt to answer some questions like, how can we increase our faith every day? How can we live out our lives in a manner that is pleasing to God and also remain secure in His promises? On this show, every week, we like to interview people of faith who are willing to share their faith journey. And we'll also talk about some of the great promises of God found in His Word. You can check out some of our previous interviews on the WCHV.com website. Just click on the podcast section and scroll down to Everyday Faith. Last week, we had an amazing interview with Dr. Caroline Godine. Dr. Caroline took us through her victorious battle against cancer. She was diagnosed a year ago with breast cancer. And so I urge you to listen to that podcast and share it with anybody who is that you know who's suffering from an illness, and particularly cancer. It is a great testimony and extremely encouraging. We've also had interviews with Anthony Gill from the UVA men's basketball team and a very powerful faith story from the UVA wrestling coach, Steve Garland. So make sure you check those out. We also have an email address. It's everydayfaithradio@gmail.com. And we appreciate so much your comments and your words of encouragement. And we really welcome your prayer requests. Well, we start with, what does the Bible say about faith? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see." When we put that another way, faith is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. And this verse has become so dear to me also from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 6 says, "And without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him." In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, we really believe this, "So faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God." Well, thank you so much for tuning in today. This is Everyday Faith Radio. We have on the show my friend Rachel Johnson with us, and Rachel's going to share with us her faith journey, and we're also going to dive into the topic of faith and marriage. This is Everyday Faith Radio. We're going to take a break. Please stay with us.
Here's what's happening in Central Virginia, sponsored by Virginia Blood Services.
The Charlottesville Albemarle SPCA will hold a foster training session on Saturday, August 9th in the basement training room at the SPCA. The Charlottesville Albemarle Convention and Visitors Bureau is asking for your suggestions on the best places to vacation locally this summer. You could win a $150 gift card if your suggestion is the best. Deadline, August 15th. Lane High School Class of 1974 is hosting a celebration of the closing of Lane High School. The event will be on August 16th from 6 p.m. until 10 p.m. at the National Guard Armory off Avon Street Extended. And the Earliesville Farmers Market happens every Thursday from 4 until 7 through October. The market is just beyond Buck Mountain Episcopal Church in the parking lot.
If your charity or nonprofit organization has an event coming up, tell us about it. Email your information at least 4 weeks in advance to psa@sevillestations.com. For more information about these and other events, go to our Concerts Events calendar at WCHV.com.
How's your lunch?
Good, Dad, but not as good as the sandwiches you used to make.
Really?
Sure. Remember how you'd melt the cheese first and dry the pickles on a paper towel so they didn't make the bread soggy, and then you'd cut it into four pieces with no crust?
I did all that.
Geez, Dad, how would anyone forget something like that?
You never know which moments will be the ones they'll remember forever. So take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
And then you're out of desperation. No, you're not the only one. Praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
This is Everyday Faith with your host, Jeff Gaffney, here on News Talk 107.5 FM and 1260 AM WCHB.
Welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Today on the program, we have my friend Rachel Johnson with us. We're going to talk about her faith journey. We're also going to talk about the topic of faith and marriage. But first, Rachel, it's kind of interesting how we ended up together today. Mm-hmm. It certainly is a divine appointment here this morning.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Why don't you walk us through how we ended up here? I mean, this is kind of amazing.
Sure. Well, my best friend, Brittany, lives in Charlottesville, and she teaches at the school where your wife is a principal at the Covenant School, and was just preparing to come up here for a couple of days to visit Brittany, and just the Lord put your wife on my heart. And I've only met her one time, and I told Brittany that I really wanted to see her. And so we made an appointment yesterday and stopped by and had lunch with her and visited the awesome school where she is the principal, and started praying and just praying for God to bless this school and for divine appointments. And then we finished, and she said, the Lord gave me a vision of you at the radio station doing this show. And it was just a divine appointment. So here I am a day later and happy to share my story.
That's awesome. And I'm so appreciative of you being willing to share your faith journey. Let's start with that. Talk to us about mm-hmm. your faith journey, and then we want to dive into faith and marriage.
Sure. Well, Jeff, I grew up a believer, was raised Catholic, and always went to church and loved the Lord, read my Bible. And I guess at about 9 years old, I remember reading the Bible and praying one night and just having this earnest desire of, Lord, I just want to do something big for you in my life. And I didn't know what that was, but I just had this desire just to serve the Lord, and thought about being an actress and a model and wanted to move out to LA and dabbled in some of that for a little bit. And that wasn't exactly where the Lord was calling me, and ended up joining Air Force ROTC. My dad was a colonel in the Air Force, and encouraged me to apply for an ROTC scholarship. And so I did, won a full ride, and ended up going to Louisiana State University, was doing ROTC, ended up joining a sorority my second year, was still active in my faith, was still real involved with that. And my sophomore year, living in the sorority house, I woke up one morning and just couldn't shake this emptiness inside, and racked my mind as to what it could be, because on paper my life looked perfect. I was making a 4.0, I was going on dates, I was, you know, everything was great. I have a full ride to college, amazing friends, tons of fun social things to do. So what was missing? And I just realized I didn't have a purpose, and my faith wasn't the primary focal point in my life. I still went to Mass, but it wasn't a deep, intimate relationship. And I thought, Lord, I want to go deeper. I want to know more about you. And I felt very convicted about living a life that was going to give God glory and honor. And so I was 19 at the time. I was a sophomore in college. So I was like, you know what? I don't need to be drinking. That's not the right thing to do. It's one, it's illegal. But two, I have an ROTC scholarship, and I could lose my scholarship, but I want to be able to honor God. And so I took the next semester and really just poured into my relationship with God and spent more time, got involved in the Catholic student group on campus, and just started praying and discerned becoming a nun, actually. And so went to a 3-day silent retreat, was, possibly convicted that this was my call, and knelt down and asked the Lord on the third day of after, you know, no talking and just praying, Lord, do you want me to be a nun? And of course, I know nothing about being a nun other than what I've seen on Sister Act and Sound of Music, but I think it's, you know, it sounds pretty cool. So I asked the Lord this question, and I don't get anything back. No yes, no no. And I think, am I not holy enough? Like, you know, am I missing something? I know there can't be an overabundance of nuns out there. So am I, you know, why am I not being called up for this? And the Lord just said, thank you for your faithfulness, but this is not what I've called you to. And so ended up joining the Air Force after college and had an amazing college experience and homecoming queen in college, most outstanding senior. President George Bush at the time commissioned me and spoke at our graduation. So again, on paper, everything looked perfect, but it was still that gnawing emptiness. And I found myself just striving for success in life and just kind of being this go, 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 do, do, do. And again, on paper, it looked amazing, but there was this emptiness because my life was all about me. And I was winning awards and I was making a great name for myself, and everything looked great, but I just wasn't fulfilled. And I guess for me, the pivotal shift in my life happened when I was 25 years old and one of my best friends was killed in a car accident. She was a fellow Air Force officer. And all of a sudden, when you face something like that, you know, when you're 25 and you think 25-year-olds aren't supposed to die, you know, certainly not someone like Sarah. And it really just convicted me of where am I in my life and what's really important. And I realized that two things were the most important: my relationship with the Lord and how well I loved other people. Mm-hmm. And I had to take a deep look at myself and go, how well am I doing on both of those? And I realized that I was doing really good at loving myself and kind of loving God, but pretty much neglecting everybody else. And just really had kind of a conversion experience and just went deeper in my faith. And a few years later, ended up leaving the military to become a full-time missionary. And I served for 4 years for an organization called Military Ministry, helping troops and families deal with a lot of the wounds of war, post-traumatic stress disorder, divorce, depression, suicide. But that's kind of my faith journey in a nutshell.
Where was your missionary work? Was that here in the States or was that abroad?
It was. It was in Newport News, Virginia. That's mm-hmm. where the headquarters of Military Ministry mm-hmm. is. And I did development work and fundraising and some public speaking. So traveling around locally in the United States, but working based out of Newport News, Virginia.
And did you find in the serving others that you know, when you feel like your life is kind of in synchronicity, that you feel like your light is shining, you're mm-hmm. doing what you're supposed to be doing. Did you find that there?
Absolutely. And for me, it was a deployment to Baghdad that really changed my perspective. And, you know, going to a war zone really causes you to think about what's really important. Mm. And I'll never forget my first Sunday in Baghdad, in Iraq. I walked in the chapel, not wearing my Sunday best, but wearing camo, not wearing a purse, but a 9mm pistol on my hip, and looking around and realizing I don't know anybody mm. in this church. So I sit down and I'm looking around wondering what's going through these people's minds. Are they on their first deployment, their third? How are their marriages back home? How are their families? Have any of them lost a loved one? Mm. Will any of these people lay down their life? And I'm, you know, sitting there in the end of Mass, the priest played a song on the CD player, and it was called We Are One Body in Christ. And the words go, we are one body in Christ, and we do not stand alone. Mm. And I'm supposed to be this tough military officer, and I lose it. Mm. And the tears just start falling as I realize the people sitting around me are not strangers. These are my brothers and sisters in Christ. Mm-hmm. And the only way we're going to get through this deployment is serving one another and encouraging one another. And so I ended up starting up a choir, figured I could help in that capacity mm. and led a Bible study, but really just reached out to people to love them mm. and be there. And the day before I redeployed back home, this Marine colonel pulled me aside and said, he was part of my small group. He said, hey, LT, I just want to thank you. I was a lieutenant. You helped facilitate a relationship with me and the big guy, and it changed my life. Mm. And I realized, Jeff, in that moment, of everything I'd ever done, of all the awards, of all the accolades, nothing compared to being able to lead someone to a saving knowledge of our mm-hmm. Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. And in your way, in the way that the Lord has instructed you and created you, you're bearing witness, mm-hmm. doing what you're supposed to be doing mm-hmm. in your way. Good for you for listening, because as I listen to your faith journey, many times as I talk with people about faith, it's that listening component that's missing. Mm-hmm. People want to kind of go do, and then kind of check back and then ask, you know, am I doing the right thing? But it sounds like you did a lot mm-hmm. of listening, and the Lord was faithful, and he led you through. It's a really interesting journey. Let's go back before we take a break. I want to talk about, I hope you don't take this the wrong way, but on paper, Little Miss Perfect. Mm-hmm. Little Miss Perfect mm-hmm. on paper, winning all these awards, and yet a sense of emptiness, and particularly what hit you in college. Mm-hmm. Talk to us about that again, that particular moment where it seems like from the outside you've got everything. How could there be a hole in your heart mm-hmm. when you have everything that mm-hmm. the world has to offer? You have everything going for you. Talk to us mm-hmm. again just about that moment.
Well, you know, Jeff, I think the world is so seductive, and we can be so easily deceived into thinking that the answer lies in a relationship or this next promotion or having a great wardrobe or, you know, having esteem in the eyes of other people. And I guess on paper I had all those things, mm-hmm. but there's still, it's not enough. You know, I believe we have a Jesus-shaped hole in our heart that mm-hmm. nothing but Him can fill. And we can try to stuff other things in there, and we can hope and pray and believe that, you know, if we just attain that next thing, if we can just get to that point, we'll have arrived. And I realized that that was never going to happen, and that the fulfillment I was longing for came only in an intimate and deep and personal relationship mm-hmm. with Jesus.
Mm-hmm. What the world offers, climb that ladder, get that medal, mm-hmm. go. The success of the world ends up, and that seems to be one of the themes on this show, is that there's a sense of emptiness mm-hmm. out of that, and you experienced it, and we actually had, a couple of weeks ago, we had Father Bruno Shaw on the program from St. Thomas Aquinas Church here in Central Virginia, and he talked about the same feeling as before he became a priest. He had on paper perfection, and yet something missing, mm-hmm. and you found that living in true relationship with the Lord, and it's good for you, and I appreciate you coming on the show and sharing your faith journey, because I know some of our listeners will be able to relate to that feeling of emptiness. But this is Everyday Faith Radio. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come right back, and we're going to talk about faith and marriage. Please don't go away.
Are you ready?
This summer, star entertainers are coming to Virginia, and you can get free tickets.
Free tickets? There's a catch, right?
Yes. These are tickets you'd give blood for, literally.
I get it.
Virginia Blood Services is giving away free tickets to summer concerts. Just be a participating donor.
Gee, I was going to give blood anyway.
So, go to vablood.org and make an appointment. You could win free tickets to amazing summer concerts while supplies last. Go to vablood.org. Check out the latest concerts and participating donor centers. Make an appointment and the tickets could be yours. What a way to amp up your summer.
Every day, patients depend on your donations. So be the giving type and amp up your summer.
VAblood.org. Give blood. Win tickets for you and a friend. Feel good and
amp up your summer.
VAblood.org. Donate blood and help people in your community. Bring a friend. Win free tickets to summer concerts while supplies last. Make an appointment at VAblood.org.
Did you know that 2/3 of Americans have library cards? So what's stopping you? Drop by your local library today and get a library card. It'll be the smartest card in your wallet. A message from the American Library Association's Campaign for America's Libraries.
For more information, visit the Jefferson Madison Regional Library on East Market Street in Charlottesville, or go to jmrl.org, jmrl.org, or call 979-7151, 979-7151.
In your hour of desperation, no, you're not the only one. Praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
This is Everyday Faith with your host, Jeff Gaffney, here on News Talk 107.5 FM and 1260 AM WCHB.
And welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We're having a delightful conversation with our guest, Rachel Johnson. And Rachel, I understand the Lord put it on your heart to write a book. And can you kind of tell us about this book and how that all started?
Sure. Well, about 5 years ago, through a set of divine circumstances, the Lord showed me that I was going to write a book. I didn't know when. I didn't know what it was going to be about. At the time, I was single. I was getting ready to become a missionary for military ministry. And long story short, a couple years ago, got married and was living, again, what looked like on paper, the perfect life, missionary, married to a wonderful man, beautiful home, living the American dream. And without going into all the details, because honestly, the details aren't super important, found myself in a broken marriage, and my husband moved out. And all of a sudden, my perfect life was far from it. And I just realized that all the things that I had hoped for in my life. And yes, I had come a long way with my relationship with the Lord. But there were still those five things that I thought that I needed in my life to live an amazing life. I needed success. I needed beauty. I needed significance. I needed an incredible romance. And then I needed wedded bliss. And it was kind of this fairy tale idea. When I have all of these things, then, you know, I'll live this great life. And I realized, you know, at that point in my life, I knew that those things were no longer the answer. But when my marriage fell apart, I realized I need to find another source of hope, because no amount of beauty can take away my heartache. No success at work can distract me from what I'm feeling. No amount of significance in the eyes of other people is going to make me feel better. And incredible romance is non-existent, and wedded bliss not happening. So where do I go from here? And as my marriage, you know, crumbled, I did everything that the normal person will do when you're facing a crisis, is you go into, you know, response mode, and you let your human emotions take over. And so for me, they absolutely did. And I was angry. I was bitter. I was hurt. I was determined to save my marriage and fix it. So I went into, you know, overdrive mode of doing whatever it could. If there was a solution out there to fix my marriage, gosh darn it, I was going to figure it out. And was beating my head against a rock, it felt like, and nothing was changing. And after, you know, months and months of attempting this, the Lord finally said, "Are you ready to listen to what I want to tell you?" I said, "All right, Lord, absolutely." And he said, "The first thing I want you to do is let go. Not let go of your marriage, but let go of trying to control it. Let go of trying to fix it. Everyone has free will. You can't force your husband to want to love you or come back home. You have to let go." And honestly, Jeff, of everything I've ever done, running a marathon and deploying to a war zone, that was the hardest thing. Let go, two words, sounds so simple. And I'm telling you, for some people, it will be the hardest thing they've ever had to do, but it is the best thing. Because when you learn to let go and you can surrender things to the Lord that you really have no control over anyway, then you can walk in freedom. And it took me about a year to really loosen the grip I had on my marriage and trying to fix it. So that was the first thing. And then the Lord said, "I want you to be open to change. Because, oh, by the way, you're not perfect. And there's some things I want to work out in you." And so the Lord started showing me about changing my words, changing my attitude, changing the influences I allowed in my life. Who am I spending time with? What TV am I watching? What am I... You know, how much time am I spending on Facebook or the internet? And all of those, you know, influences were affecting me. And so I asked the Lord to change me into the woman that you created me to be. The third thing the Lord showed me as I was walking through this journey was, Rachel, you need to walk by faith, not by flesh, not by your feelings, not by what the world says. Because on paper, it looked like my marriage was hopeless. And everyone said, you know, you should pack up and leave. There's no point. You deserve better than this. And yet, Jeff, the Lord the whole time kept telling me, trust me, stay the course. I'm working in his heart. Don't quit. And so just knowing that that's what God had told me, I knew I would always wonder what if. And there would always be regret if I went out and did things my own way. And so the Lord said, walk by faith and just trust me. So I continue to walk by faith. The fourth thing that the Lord walked me through was forgiving. And you and I talked about that a little bit earlier. Forgiveness is, it's a choice. And it's not always easy. And forgiveness is not a feeling. It's something an intentional choice to let go and to release someone into loving arms of Jesus, knowing that Christ already forgave us of all of our sins. And that grace and mercy that God gave me, has given me, I can give that freely to anyone else, even if they haven't asked for it, even if they don't deserve it, because honestly, who deserves forgiveness? But we all get it from the Lord. And so choosing to forgive my husband was such a beautiful opportunity for me to be set free, for that root of bitterness to be plucked out of my heart. And then the fifth thing the Lord walked me through and told me, convicted me of, was, Rachel, you need to learn how to love. And love is not this amorphous feeling that the world tells us. It's not endorphins and this emotional high. Love is willing to lay down your life, willing to put someone else before your own wants and needs. And I think about what Jesus demonstrated on the cross is the greatest act of love. And if we believe love is a feeling or someone else making us happy, we've believed a lie. And the Lord showed me, Rachel, you're loving your husband by being faithful to him. Mm-hmm. You're loving him by respecting him. You're loving him by keeping the door open to your marriage. And sometimes love is just not quitting when someone's at their worst, and choosing to turn the other cheek and just stand. And so I chose to stand and to learn to love. And the beautiful thing was, in the course of doing all those five things, the circumstances in my marriage didn't change, but I changed. And all of a sudden, I realized I was living this amazing life. And I had hope and peace and joy and passion and purpose. And I remember telling the Lord early on, I said, Lord, if you walk me through this, if you get me out of this pit of despair, because I felt so broken and so empty, that I will do whatever. And I will share this message of hope far and wide. And so about a year and a half ago, the Lord started convicting me about writing this book. And the name of the book is Hope, choosing to dance through the storms of life. Because it's a choice.
Yes.
And the reality is we all face storms in our life, every single person. And a storm could be a marriage. It could be a loss of a loved one, an illness, a financial crisis, any number of things. And the circumstances, like I said, don't matter. Because when you go through a storm, it's scary. It's overwhelming. It can catapult you into despair or grief. And yet the beautiful thing is the Lord's always there. You may feel as though the storm clouds are blocking the rays of the sun, but God is still right there. He hasn't moved. And by doing those five things, by letting go, by being open to change, walking by faith, forgiving, and learning to love, I rediscovered hope in my life and a life better than I ever thought I could live, even though on paper it was anything but perfect.
I already love your book. I can't wait to get my hands on it. I do want to ask a couple of questions about some of the chapters. First, the letting go part sounded like very difficult. But when I kind of think biblically about that, and I think about 1 Peter chapter 5, where the Bible says, "Cast your cares on the Lord, for he cares for you." Or cast your anxieties on the Lord is in another version. Cast your anxieties on the Lord, for he cares for you. And then you go into Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything. And it really gets into this divine exchange. The moment where you're willing to hand that over, there's this transfer back of this supernatural peace. And we've talked about that on the show. And I had this feeling that you experienced that.
I did.
With the letting go, you get, when you let go, you get back this peace.
And I think it's important to remember, Jeff, also, that letting go is not a one-time thing. Letting go is a daily decision to surrender all the things in life that we want to control, that we want to manage, that we're worried about, that we're anxious about. And so people go, well, how did you let go? And I said, I'm still letting go. Every day I wake up and I go, Lord, I desire these things in my life, but I trust you and I'm going to surrender them at the feet of your throne, knowing that you have control over all of it. You're sovereign. I'm not. And so, Lord, help me to hold everything with a loose grip and just to do whatever you've asked me of. And that freedom of letting go, I just can't speak enough about that, because if people can really let go, they will experience a peace that surpasses all understanding.
Thank you for that message. I needed that today, that it's a continual letting go. You're absolutely right. It's not just a one time. I mean, it may be a significant one step, but it's a continual letting go. Let me talk about this, and I thank you so much for being on the show, and I'm going to have you back. But chapter 3, by faith, it seemed to me kind of the note that I wrote to myself is, the crucial question at that point was, what voice are you listening to? Are you listening to the voices of your friends? Because on the outside, from the worldly perspective, it was, how could you stay with him? What are you doing? Are you kidding me? And yet you listen to the voice of the Lord as opposed to listening to your friends. And it seems like the Lord gave you a vision for a restored marriage that you could see. And that was that whole walking by faith, that you had the ability then to sort of block out the crowd and walk by faith, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, and in doing so, he would lift you kind of up out of this pit that you found yourself in at the time.
Sure. Well, you mentioned, you know, walking by faith, and I think about the passage of, you know, Peter walking on water and how he was in the midst of a storm, and it was only when he had his eyes fixed on the Lord that he was able to walk. And the minute he took his eyes off the Lord and he looked at the waves and he looked at, felt the wind and realized that he could potentially drown, that he did, in fact, begin to sink. And so as I learned to, you know, die to my flesh and not let my flesh rule me, I realized I have to keep my eyes fixed on the Lord, because the minute I look to my circumstances, I will lose hope, because faith is not what you can see. Faith is believing for what you can't see.
Rachel Johnson, before we go, please tell for our listeners, if they want more information, can you give us your website that they can go to now, and then they can start getting information about your book when it comes out?
Sure, absolutely. My website is choosingtohope.com. And I just want to let everyone know it's a work in progress. So there's some video stuff that's not totally loaded yet, but you can contact me through my website. It's www.choosingtohope.com.
Thank you all so much for joining us for Everyday Faith. Powerful Sunday. Have a great day. We'll see you next week.